all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information. Good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the state of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota, where it's another beautiful day up north. Great way to start the week. Sun already coming through the windows at this early hour on this Monday, May 15th. Nice to have you here. It's 42 degrees up on Lake Wissota. I know it was in the upper 30s in some parts of our part of the state this morning so far. So, but we're in for a nice warm-up. And looking forward to hearing more about that from Weatherology coming up in just a bit. We're going to be hearing from Sherita Booker, my Up North News colleague, about some of the Up North News stories that are the most watched, most read, most clicked on over the past week. We'll visit with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We will also visit with Deborah Kronmiller, the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. The League of Women Voters is a lot like Up North News in that we're dedicated to the empowerment of voters, which is a, you know, empowerment's a big old word. It just means it wants you to feel empowered when you go into the voting booth, not overwhelmed. Feel informed, like you know the issues, you know the candidates, without having to completely nerd out. And the League of Women Voters helps do that. They are sharing fact-based information about government and elections and are doing what they can to encourage more participation in civic events. And so we will talk to Deborah more about what her members do in all this calendar space that's in between elections. We'll talk to Civic Media News Director Terry Bell with three things to know to start the week. All that and much more coming up as we get going on this Monday morning, where we welcome back one Aaron Zommers, who was in back home in Manitowoc to head into the Mother's Day weekend. Mr. Zommers, good morning. How was your trek back to see family?
Good morning. It was really nice. If I sound stuffy, though, it's because I visited my grandma yesterday. She has a few cats, and I'm still feeling that today. But it was great to see everybody until I started sneezing.
Cats will do that to some. It's that time of year, whether it's cats or it's pollen or whatnot. You know, it's supposed to be this beautiful time of year, and instead, sometimes it can be just downright miserable for folks at times, depending on what their particular springtime allergy is. Did I hear right? You were using up a turkey tag as well?
Yeah. I got a Jake this weekend, so a young male turkey, for those who don't know the terminology.
And I do not.
Yeah, Jake is a young one, and a Tom is the older male turkey.
So, wait, a Jake becomes a Tom. It's not like a Tommy or Tom Jr. It's just a completely different name.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, it'd be like going for, you would go with a Joey, and then you'd move your way up to a Joseph or a Teddy to a Theodore. I don't get the whole
That's what thing. I would think. I think there's a reason for it, but I don't remember.
Okay. But you did, you got a turkey.
Yes.
And then that was Mother's Day dinner, I assume? Or?
It was not, because we already had plans for that. But I did bring the meat back with me, and I'm going to make something for my friends here.
What do you like to make when you go turkey hunting successfully?
One thing that's really good is we will cook up the turkey meat slowly, like cube it up, and then just have a bunch of different like cream of mushroom and different soups in a crock pot and put it in there and make a nice like soup and then put it over rice.
Oh, that sounds great. I have to, maybe I need to have you do some of my quote unquote grocery shopping for me in the meat department there, but that sounds fun. Great for, good for you. Over at the Kreitlow household, we have another house project. And this is probably before your time. I hold in my hand the flush valve from a toilet.
Ooh.
Luke was here on Friday. I wish this would have happened a couple of days earlier, in August when Luke was working the morning show. We had the great, fill valve replacement of last August, where it took nearly a month for me to get a toilet fixed.
Holy cow.
Different toilet now the flush valve, a little tiny piece of plastic broke at the bottom, just, you know, small enough to necessitate replacing the whole thing. But I mean, look at this thing. This is not your typical, like the little flapper with the chain. This is like a big black cylindrical thing with a smaller cylinder in the middle. There's no flapper whatsoever. So I checked the local hardware store. Nothing doing. I checked a large retail discount chain that has some toilet parts. Nothing doing. So apparently my toilet is a lot more special than I would have thought, because I got to go get this particular replacement part, I guess.
Yeah, that's one of those things that you don't want to be special.
And here's the thing. You go to the website, and in this case, it's a Kohler product, a fine Wisconsin product. But you go looking for something that looks like it, and there seems to be about 45 different flush valves that look almost the same. There's no part number on here anyplace. You, of course, don't want to buy the wrong one. So this thing has already taken way too long than it should. But that's our next quest, is to see if we can get a toilet to work. So in the middle of the night, when people of my age get up in the middle of the night, as we do, we don't have to cross around the house just to, find a functioning toilet. So I will keep you updated on this breaking news that we have here in the Kreitlow household, and see if this one can be fixed in under a month and not need any special tools like the other toilet did.
So Godspeed.
Stay tuned to this Civic Media station for the latest on the Toilet Fest Part 2. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will hear from my colleague, Sharita Booker, who is our social media manager. So she puts up the stories that we work on originally, and then other things that she finds all around the interwebs, and puts them on our social media sites as well. So take a listen to what folks are clicking on over the past week or so at Up North News WI on social media. We'll be back. This is Up North News Radio for a Monday. All right, let's do some sports at 6:15 on this Monday morning. When we last left you on Friday, the Brewers had struggled mightily over the past week. The Kansas City Royals came to town and provided just the healing that was needed for the Brewers' bats, and I think for the pitching arms as well, after sweeping the series against Kansas City. And the Brewers are now back in first place in the National League Central. Now, Eric Lauer didn't start the game. He came in from the bullpen in the fourth inning to relieve starter Colin Ray. Colin Ray had allowed four runs to that point, but then Eric Lauer shut everything down except for a couple of solo homers late in the ninth inning, but the Brewers went on to win by a score of 9-6. After homering twice on Saturday, Christian Yelich went deep again Sunday. He had an RBI single. He scored again in a 7-run third inning for the Brewers. Bryce Durang had a 3-run homer. Mike Brasso also homered. And the Brewers are now in St. Louis tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday night, before they travel on Thursday down to Tampa for next weekend. Freddie Peralta will be on the mound tonight. And the Packers may have offloaded Aaron Rodgers, but on Friday, we gained Simone Biles by signing former Houston Texans safety Jonathan Owens. He and the Olympic champ Simone Biles were recently married, and Owens is coming off a career best start from the Texans, and safety is a position that was sorely needed here at the Packers, so hopefully things will go well there too. And once again, it's time to start the week with my colleague at Up North News, Sharita Booker, who does our social media posting and scouring and reviewing. And she visits us each week to tell us about a few of the stories that are performing very well on our various platforms, so that maybe you would like to go take a look at them as well. Sharita, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we're going to hit three different platforms here. A post that is proven to be pretty popular on Facebook, especially probably Instagram as well. We're going to talk about a TikTok. We'll actually play an excerpt of it here. And then there's a story that you'll find on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. So starting first with, when I talk to people, Sharita, about digital media and digital journalism, I remind them that there's all these different formats. There's not just a website news article, but there's photos, there's videos, there's graphics. And some of those graphics really resonate with folks, especially the one that we put up recently called 9 Can't Miss Supper Clubs. Can you tell folks what was the genesis of that post? And then we'll get into some of the reaction about it.
All right. So We like to do maps here at Up North News. People really love those. So we put a map of 9 can't miss supper clubs up, and that map has gained over 1,700 likes, comments, and shares. And the UNN community also hopped in the comments and told us some of their favorite supper clubs. But that one's a no-brainer. We know Wisconsinites love their supper clubs. Just to name a few, we included Rivers Bend in Green Bay, 5 o'clock Steakhouse in Milwaukee, and Sister Bay Bowl in Sister Bay.
These were on the map here. You see them scattered around, and I knew exactly what we were going to get first out of this was people saying, well, shouldn't there be more places up north, you know, compared to what else is on the map? But a couple of things are very clear. First off, up here where I am up north, you can't swing a cheese curd without hitting a supper club. There's a lot of good ones here, just a stone's throw from Lake Wasota. And frankly, at Up North News, for us, up north is everything north of the border. We are America's up north. And there are these places along Lake Michigan and, you know, in other spots around the state that you should be checking out. So people did respond to them. And you definitely, if you look through the comments, you see people putting in their own suggestions. It's clear to me that people feel very strongly about, you know, a supper club that they love. And I hope you got that impression too.
Yeah, I feel like people have the one that they regularly go to and they want to represent and tell everybody else like, hey, go support them. So I think that's a great thing, too. And people read the comments and they take those suggestions and use them. So,
yeah, I'm sure people go, well, wait, you know, people are you know, saying, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Well, because you did. You did it right there in the comments. And so if you are looking for can't miss supper clubs, yeah, you're going to click on the map with 9 of them. And then you're going to find dozens and dozens more in the comments. So definitely take a look through that on either one of our social media platforms, Facebook or Instagram. And in both cases, the handle is at Up North News WI. Don't forget the WI. That's what you'll find on most of our social media platforms, except TikTok for some reason. And I don't know who set this up, but I'm going to give them a talking to. It's just simply at Up North News. And on that one, we combine Midwestern mannerisms with a bit of an international flair. Tell us what we're going to be listening to in a second here, Sharita.
So we found this video on TikTok, which is a perfect example of how Midwestern small talk isn't really small.
What you guys have been saying to me about the American Midwest has been totally confirmed to me. I had to greet my second tour today and there were a bunch of Americans. And this time they were from Wisconsin, not Michigan. And as the last time, we ended up having the nicest conversation ever as two strangers that I've never met before. And even though I'm in a service position where I'm supposed to be showing them things and talking about Paris, I ended up talking to this lady called Janet, and she told me one of her sons works in Chicago and the other son works in Washington, D.C. And she was telling me stuff about her family. And then she was very interested in what I was doing in Paris. And then she told me one of her exchange students is from Bombay. And that depth of small talk is something that I have not had in Paris for almost 6 years. In Paris, we talk about the weather as small talk. But do I know that Janet's son lives in Chicago while her other son lives in D.C.? If I had more time with them, I'm pretty sure we would have uncovered many more things about her family. And again, like the last time, talking to a bunch of Americans absolutely made my day because it is just so easy to talk to you guys.
Sharita, when you saw that for the first time, when you heard it for the first time, what did you think?
I loved it because I feel like it really shows how we are in the Midwest. We're super friendly and it's talked about because when she started the video, she's saying like, okay, it's been confirmed that Midwestern small talk is just different from everyone else's around the world or around the nation. So I feel like it really would resonate with everybody in Wisconsin. I think we all feel that we're very charming and not the Southern charm, but we have our own kind of charm, our Midwestern charm and our own Midwestern mannerisms and hospitality.
And it's very true. I think a lot of us were raised right that way. And that, look, we talk a lot about the things that sometimes we disagree with or that divide us. But again, those are topics. From an overall standpoint, we are very sweet when the time is right, especially when we're being welcoming to folks you know, who are not familiar with our neck of the woods. And then the final one I wanted to have you share with us, I initially thought it's time for a grandpa confession here. I thought maybe we'd made a mistake because I looked at the website and the headline said, you know, ISO friendship, blah, 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 blah. The rest of it goes on. And I sent this note like, is ISO supposed to be part of the headline? And what did you tell the old man?
I said ISO is a like a social media acronym for In Search Of. So the article is named In Search Of Friendship, How One Wisconsin Woman is Using Facebook to Find Real Friends.
Oh, LOL. I mean, look, I'd like to think I know a few of these, but nope. ISO is TIL is that ISO stands for In Search Of. Today I learned. So tell us more about the article and what this person did.
All right. So we talked to a 24-year-old Wisconsin woman named Julia Otis. She created this Facebook group simply to make new friends in Wisconsin and help other women do the same. The group has over 3,000 members now, and she also hosts events and meetups across the state. So if you're interested in attending and meeting some new women, you can join her group at Wisconsin Girls Group on Facebook for more details, and check out our article directly on our UNN website. And you can find the article on our social channels as well.
That's right. And those social channels are Up North News WI, except for TikTok, where it's simply Up North News. And our general email address is info@upnorthnewswi.com. If you'd like to send story ideas or just a link to something that you saw on social media that you thought that we should pay attention to as well. Sharita Booker, thanks as always for starting our week off on such a positive note.
Thanks for having me.
And again, a reminder that we are on social media with this here radio show. We appreciate you listening on civic media stations all across Wisconsin, but we also run a live video feed on our social media sites, and not just ours, not just the Facebook page for Up North News and Twitter, but also for Civic Media. And you can find that on social media at Civic Media US. And also for our Wausau station, Bull Falls Radio. They run us on their Facebook page as well. And so while you're looking for some of the other Up North News stories, take a look at the show. Maybe leave a comment about what you're seeing on there. And if we like it, we can maybe put it on the air and share with everybody your name and your comment about something that's in the news and something you're seeing on social media. I started my Sunday morning as I almost always do when I'm home, with our DVR. We have a nice little routine that, you know, we may sleep in a bit, and then we will start Sunday Today from NBC, and that takes an hour, you know, plus we get to fast forward through commercials, and then we watch CBS Sunday Morning, and then we'll watch the previous night's Saturday Night Live if we haven't stayed up, and increasingly we don't stay up that late. But as far as the two news programs, both Sunday Today and CBS Sunday Morning, both put a big emphasis on the end of a pandemic restriction on border crossings. But unfortunately, both stories made my head hurt with the both sides-ism that these national newsrooms continue to conjure up and try to put forward as a narrative rather than what is really happening. Because what is really happening in our politics is the fancy term is asymmetrical polarization. All that means is the polarization that we have, it's not symmetrical. It's not both sides. There is one side that has gone so far to the right, so far beyond the mainstream, and yet it's not being reported upon fully and honestly. And much like the debt ceiling crisis, the immigration issue is not a case of gridlock where, you know, both sides are dug in on positions that are anathema to the other. No, much like the current debt ceiling crisis is entirely of the Republicans making, holding the economy hostage and refusing to pay current debts. In the case of the immigration crisis, we also have a case where there was bipartisan reform, but enough members of the right wing in the Republican Party tanked it. We're still operating under immigration rules dating back to the last reform done in the Reagan administration, 1986. And there has continually been a push not to just tinker at the edges, but to do more, do something more comprehensive. And it happened. It happened in 2013 with something called, typical bill name, the Border Security, Economic Opportunity, and Immigration Modernization Act of 2013. This was as bipartisan as it could get. It passed out of the U.S. Senate with 68 votes, 68 to 32. Do you know what it takes to get 68 votes in the Senate? But it went to John Boehner and the far-right Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives. Never even took up the bill. They said, nope, we don't want comprehensive reform. We just want the border protection, and then we'll talk reform. When they have no level of trust, nobody believes them, that once you pass, you know, tougher border restrictions, the comprehensive bill included 40,000 additional border agents. Republicans said no. We've been stuck there ever since. Kristen Lierley joins us next. You're up north.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
This was Dr. Lierley's suggestion that we should try to stick to telling people something good on a Monday morning. Kristen, how are you?
Don't you think? Doesn't that just make sense?
Well, yeah, but I'm looking at my list of possible topics and, well, this is going to be a very empty segment if I'm not going to be correcting more, Trump misinformation about the town hall, the Republican war on diversity and equity. Let's see. We've got the House Republican, quote unquote, investigation that found no evidence of wrongdoing by President Biden. We've got all the support and donations pouring in for a guy who killed a man on a New York City subway. Yeah, I got, if you want something good, I'm going to say, hey, don't you have the day off today?
Hey, I do. But before we get into that, I would just like to point out that I think Ron Johnson was right about something.
Uh-oh. Hold on. Let me get my pen. I'm going to want to jot this down. What was Ron Johnson right about?
Well, there's an article in USA Today about climate change and which states are going to be most affected. And Wisconsin is not on the list.
Oh, yeah. No, we've played the comments about him seeing that list and saying that that's a good thing, basically saying we don't care if people in other countries die.
I don't see why warming globes wouldn't be comforting.
Yeah, that was pretty much what he said. Why wouldn't it be comforting here in Wisconsin? And the reaction was like, well, we're also showing you how all these folks are going to die in the equatorial bands, Africa, other places. And he was like, well, basically taking the Ebenezer Scrooge line, the surplus population. why don't they just die faster? It's like, Ron, just even when you hear good news, you find a way to turn it into bad news, and try to look callous about it. But at least
I do like the Ebenezer Scrooge analogy that hits the nail on the head.
Oh, my goodness. He roots for Mr. Potter, the banker, every time It's a Wonderful Life comes on. I mean, we know where he is. We know where he stands on these things. All right. So you have been working out in Minnesota over the weekend. And so I suppose being on call all weekend, you get today off. And for anybody that follows Kristen, did I glitch out on you there, kids? Uh-huh. All right. I say Kristen, at Kristen for Wisconsin on social media. We'll sometimes see bicycle pics, and it seems like today is a good day for a bike ride wherever you are in the Midwest.
I am going to visit Walnut Grove, Minnesota. Does that ring a bell at all?
It does. I believe it's one of the approximately 312 places where Laura Ingalls Wilder and her family lived at some point.
She was born in Pepin. Mm-hmm. And then they traveled all over the upper Midwest with a horse and buggy because this was a long time ago. She was born, she was born 18 years after Wisconsin's criminal abortion ban was enacted, in fact. So if that puts it in perspective for you.
Sure does.
But yes. So Walnut Grove is on the banks of Plum Creek where they lived for a short period of time. So I'm going to go down and visit, and they've got a museum down there. I'm really excited. I grew up on Laura Ingalls, so it's going to be a really nice day.
Oh, a lot of people did, and it's a fine historical record. I just can't help but notice that, I mean, this family has to have been fugitives. It seems like they were on the run as often as Al Capone, because Al Capone, it's like... Al Capone stayed everywhere in the Midwest. I don't know how he found any time to stay in Chicago if he was actually, you know, hiding out or eating or fishing or whatever at all these places in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Canada. And the more you look at the whole Little House on the Prairie, you know, scene with the family and all the places they lived, it strikes me there might have been a warrant out for Pa's arrest, you know, at some point, someplace.
Maybe. No, Pa just needed to go. He has wanderlust.
He clearly.
Also, they had some really rough years with crops. Yes. I mean, you know, think about what it was like to live back then and what you had to farm with. Like, that was what you had to live with. So if you had a rough year, that was bad. So you searched for something more.
Oh, when I think about, yeah, having to move when times get tough, and I think about the advances that we live with today. As I was telling Mr. Zommers earlier here in showing off the flush valve of my toilet over here.
Oh,
I thought about that as I had to, oh, woe is me. I have to go use the guest bathroom. And I thought, you know, we are really only at best three generations removed from when nobody had a bathroom indoors. Nobody, mm-hmm. you know, or everybody, it was a flashlight and outside you went to, you know, find the outhouse, hope there wasn't a skunk in there or worse. So,
and I remember my grandpa telling me those stories.
Yeah. Same. My grandparents, mm-hmm. you know, on their farm in South Dakota had the same situation. And we so take for granted, we joke about first world problems. But, mm-hmm. oh, my goodness, we have such a different way of life than what our great grandparents would look at us like, what? you can do what with, you know, as they look at our phone or our watch or anything else like that? It's amazing. But yet other things are tried and true. They haven't changed. And for you, that's getting on that bicycle and biking around Walnut Grove or, you know, wherever you've been across the prairie out there.
I'm also going to hit up New Ulm. There is a brewery there called Shells.
Yes.
So one of my college buddies and I are going to bike around New Ulm and we're going to check that out and visit Shells and do a brewery tour.
Okay. And mm-hmm. not too far from there is New Prague, Minnesota. And I was in Northfield, Minnesota over the weekend. And as a friend of mine was talking about New Prague, I thought there are so many European cities that we pronounce differently once they become American cities, you know, they're, and instead of Prague, it's Prague. We talked about how you've been in Montevideo, Minnesota, instead of Montevideo, which is a, you know, uh-huh. a South American city. There's
Berlin.
Berlin. Yep. New Berlin, Wisconsin, and just a host of others. I often wonder how much of that was intentional, how much of it was just, you know, lazy, just whatever fell out the way that it did. But yeah, New Prague is one more example that you have not too far from where you are out there.
And let's be clear, it's New Prague.
New Prague. Okay. Yeah.
New Prague with the emphasis on the new.
See?
Is how the locals pronounce it.
It's kind of like Fondulac, you know, if it's like, wait, there's a J
those are
in
my
there?
People.
Yes, those are. Absolutely. Now, also out there, Minnesota, central and southern Minnesota, my goodness, it was just like a rain machine over the weekend out there. We were on the very edge of it here in western Wisconsin where we got a little rain now and then, but so much of central Minnesota got dumped on that between, where is it, Mankato and one other, you know, prominent city in western Minnesota, there's really only two highways that get you there. And one is already closed for the summer because of construction. And the other one had a mudslide over the weekend because there was so much rain. So you had to go way out of your way, you know, to get to, you know, wherever you were going. And it's just, you don't expect to hear that much in the upper Midwest, but sometimes you get these storm systems. It's almost like the climate is, what's the word I'm looking for? Changing?
Bring us full circle here.
It could be
we have massive flooding here still from snowmelt. So mm-hmm. when I went for a bike ride last weekend, there was still a big patch of snow, but there is so much flooding. The Minnesota River is really high. Flood warnings from the rain over the weekend are causing more chaos than they had before. So it's really quite remarkable to look at the damage that has already subsided, but the floodwaters that are still there, and it's making it really hard for farmers to get out in the fields. get their crops in on time. I hear a lot of frustration from folks out here. I mean, farming is everything out here. And when you can't get your crops in at a reasonable time, you don't know what your harvest is going to look like.
Yeah, really, it changes from region to region. Here, it was last week? No, it was the week before, where it seemed like everybody did their planting all at once. Like the conditions were ready, everybody go. We'd gone to eastern Wisconsin, and things weren't quite ready yet. And I'm sure in parts of Minnesota, that the growing season is going to be that much shorter because they still can't get in their fields.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's not nearly as green here as it is in Green Bay, which I guess makes sense because it's Green Bay. But did you hear how I did that?
Yeah. But the Bay Bay is getting too green. That's the problem.
We're working on it. Oh, hey. Here's something else we can talk about. Did you see this book?
I saw you post about it. Tell us about it.
I have not read it yet, but it's all about the Superfund cleanup. So, you know, the Fox River in northeastern Wisconsin has a bunch of paper mills. It's like the greatest concentration of paper mills in the world. Mm-hmm. And as a result of over all these years, it's been dirty. So it was a Superfund site. And it talks about the effort that it took to clean up the Fox River. And, you know, from having grown up there, and having seen the river and knowing how dirty it is, and now seeing all these people out there fishing, constantly fishing, it is a really different river because of the effort that these people put into it. So I'm really excited to dig into this book and learn a little bit more about how that happened. And I'm sure there are some good lessons there about what we can do in the future.
Well, I would hope so. And again, it's one of those things where people sometimes don't appreciate how far we've come. When you look at the Clean Water Act of 1970, and, you know, when Lake Erie caught on fire, you know, when the Boston Harbor and all the progress that we've made. And unfortunately, because of that, it has set the stage for very large corporations to want to seek rollbacks to say, oh, there's just too much restriction on business, when we know how quickly things could go bad again if you don't stay vigilant to these kinds of things, like, you know, keeping your water clean.
Mm-hmm. It took decades to clean up the Fox River, to scoop up all of those PCBs, and to, I think they put concrete over some of the areas that they didn't mine. So, yeah, I mean, this is a cautionary tale, and we're smarter now than we were. You know, decades ago, centuries ago, when all of this started, we didn't have all the information that we have now. So we can certainly do better. And we need to ensure that we're taking care of our environment for the future in a state like Wisconsin, where our environment is a giant part of our economy. I mean, Pat, you were just in Up North News. There was a big emphasis on tourism in Wisconsin. This is our tourism season just starting around the corner here. It brings in so much money. If we don't have this beautiful, wonderful, forested, excellent place where people can go and reconnect with nature, then what do we got?
For those folks who missed it on Friday, we played a little snippet of New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez really holding a witness's feet to the fire, a former Minnesota state senator who was there to speak about, you know, wanting to allow some mining to be done by the Boundary Waters Canoe Area. And the congresswoman had to do the digging deep into his materials to say, wait, aren't you now a lobbyist for the mining industry? And he kind of tried to gloss it over. And eventually he had to, you know, admit that he was. And we have to remember that between people like that in Minnesota and Toxic Tom Tiffany in northern Wisconsin, there are plenty of people in these areas that would sell out their clean water in a heartbeat for a few corporate dollars, rather than trying to emphasize the other ways to grow the economy through, you know, outdoor recreation, through sustainable forestry, through, you know, attracting retirees by having broadband internet and other capabilities. There's so many ways to grow, and maybe mining too, if you prove you can do it safely, right, instead of trying to undermine all the progress we've made in the past 50 years.
Well, look at what happened with Murray Felskowski and the development that was is supposed to happen in the Northwoods a couple weeks ago. I mean, you probably know more about it than I do, but there's a way to develop those areas responsibly. And then there are areas that need to be left in their pristine condition. And that's a careful balance that requires, say it with me, compromise.
Compromise. Yeah, we've talked about what's happening with the Pelican River Forest and continuing to follow Republicans' efforts to, you know, prevent the area from staying in private hands and then have, again, sustainable planned development rather than something that's all willy-nilly. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have this morning's history lesson. We'll take a little music break. We'll talk about the one-year anniversary of the Dobbs decision coming up as well, all on this Monday morning, May 15th. This is Up North News Radio. We'll be right back. Kristen's looking for, you know, positive stuff today. And what do we have? We have Ebony and Ivory, the number one song on this day in 1982. Look how happy it's making you.
I learned a lot from this song. Those legendary folks coming together and singing this beautiful song about coming together. I loved it.
But who did the Saturday Night Live version? Was it Stevie Wonder? Had to have been Eddie Murphy and Joe Piscopo as Frank Sinatra. And oh God, you are black and I am white. You're blind as a bat and I have sight. It's just, it was the thing that you needed after hearing this schmaltzy song over and over again. It was to have a little bit of fun with it. But it was the number one song this day in 1982. This is the anniversary of the founding of the city of Las Vegas. Speaking of Sinatra, it was founded this day in 1905, and it was just a sleepy little intersection at the time in the Nevada desert. And look what it's turned into this day and age. On this day in 1911, Standard Oil was broken up. The U.S. Supreme Court declared Standard Oil to be an unreasonable monopoly under the Antitrust Act and ordered the company to be broken up. We have seen that happen with Standard Oil and that things got more competitive and better as a result. We saw it happen with AT&T when they broke that up in the 80s, and we have all these other companies and more competition as a result. So somebody please explain to me why we can't do that with some of these big tech companies nowadays.
I can't explain that to you.
No, I would never ask you to do that. On this day in 1986 was a truly historic moment in music when rap and classic rock met, and they did it in the best way possible with Run DMC and Aerosmith. Still, far and away, one of my favorite videos because of the way Aerosmith handled it. They embraced it fully. Not like, oh, who are these, you know, people trying to tread on our music? But like, hey, these guys are doing our song as well or better than us. And they did kind of the split screen thing with a wall between them. And then eventually the wall comes down and they meld together. And it's such a great video. And I love the song and I'd love to see more of that.
That was really one of the first examples of sampling being embraced and seeing those different styles melding together. And now look at what we have, you know, all of these country hip hop crossovers, and there's just so much more, again, melding of different genres. It's really beautiful to see.
It is a nice, beautiful, nice musical melting pot. And again, the occasion was on this day in 1986, Run DMC released their album Raising Hell, which featured this reworking of Walk This Way. On this day in 1975, we think of Fleetwood Mac as always having Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham, but they didn't. They were pretty much an all-British group when they first started, and it was on this day in 1975 that their new members, Buckingham and Nicks, first were on stage with them at a show in El Paso, Texas. Now, on this day in 1990, again, every so often you hear either a song or an artist, and you go, this is a game changer. And usually I start at the beginning of a song, but I fast forwarded this one. This is near the end of the first time we all heard Mariah Carey on the radio doing Vision of Love. And I'm sorry, I know Mariah Carey's become like a caricature now, but when that first came up, chills, just goosebumps. You're like, where is this voice, you know, out of the blue? And, you know, again, some of her first songs were just so, so amazing. And then, like often happens, fame brings along its own quirkiness. And she is a very unapologetic diva, and I don't take anything away from her. But when she was just this, you know, shy young woman coming up with this big voice, it was a big deal back then.
Just enjoy the back then.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do here. So we took you back to 1990 for a moment when I actually had this cassette tape and was playing it in my Mercury Tracer, this little tiny hatchback.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
I know.
Well, that was the era of Whitney Houston, yes. And, you know, all of these big voices, Celine Dion.
Christina Aguilera. Yeah, it was a nice era of hearing all this talent. Now, you know, then Kelly Clarkson, not too far away from that. On this day in 1940.
What? Christina or Britney?
Christina or Britney? Oh, Christina, far and away. Oh, my goodness. Such talent. On this day in 1940, the very first McDonald's restaurant opened by a McDonald's. It was Richard and Maurice McDonald. These brothers opened up the first McDonald's restaurant. And again, it's a Michael Keaton movie, and it's about him playing Ray Kroc, who would eventually buy out the brothers and then really take McDonald's to another level. I believe the movie's called The Founder. And
yes.
I cannot recommend it highly enough. It's not a happy movie necessarily, but it is just such a good movie. And you learn so much about American business and the history behind McDonald's. And again, that first McDonald's restaurant opened on this day way back in 1940. And one more musical note, Janet Jackson had the number one hit this day in 1993.
My love is blind. Can't you see my desire? That's the way love goes.
I don't know if she was still working with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis for this particular track, but boy, did they all make magic together.
Oh my gosh. In Minneapolis.
That's right. Uh-huh. I said yeah. All the time.
You know, she's on tour.
Yes. Yeah. At our age, I can't do that. That's all I could do to get into pajamas last night after all the yard work that I did. And she's out there touring. Oh, man. Hey, Mark from Prairie du Sac, I got a minute for you to talk about what's going on. We were talking about, you know, corporations and pollution. What's on your mind?
Yeah, well, we got Neil Gorsuch now taking revenge for his mommy, who got busted for her misdeeds back in the 80s, but now thinks pollution is just okay. And I couldn't, you brought up the Happy Ebony and Ivory song. I couldn't help but think of Paul McCartney's Live and Let Die that he did from a James Bond movie. But it just is, these guys they want to roll back the clock and let pollution flow again. And just because it says that, it doesn't say specifically that a pollutant is dangerous, that the current Supreme, makeup of the Supreme Court said, oh, that's okay, you know, because they didn't say it specifically. We'll just let it slide, and given the current makeup of our Congress, that we're gonna see not the progress we've made in the past years, yeah. You know, cleaning up the Fox in the Wisconsin, because now you can actually fish those rivers. You can't really eat the fish as often as you'd like, but it's not like the rivers are going to catch on fire again right now.
No, it's not, but it certainly has that potential to slide back, especially given what the court has been doing in trying to take away some of the powers of the EPA, Mark. Thanks a lot for giving us that quick point to wrap up the hour with. And Kristen, I hope the waters are clean and the trails are nice and smooth for your bike rides or whatever you end up doing for the rest of the week. We'll see you for Hometown Health on Thursday.
I'll send pictures.
All right. You do that. Have a great day. Talk to you later. You're up north.